You're listening to another great Torah class, recorded by TorahAnytime.com.
It's a very special schus to have been invited by Benny once again to come to speak to all of you, to speak on the same program as Dr. Pelkowitz and everybody's best friend, Fagi Zakhain, who was absolutely terrific tonight. And I hope that we'll be able to be inspired together. My role here tonight is not so much from the psychological aspect of what's going on Yontif, but rather from the inspirational, to try to see how we can make this Elul, the Rosh Hashanah, the Aseres Yemei Tshuva, until Hashanah Rabbah, meaningful and very special for ourselves and for our children. There's a very famous Chazal that most of you certainly know. And that Chazal teaches us in Avodah Zarah Yud Amud Beis. Yesh koine oilomoi b'sho'achas. A person can conquer his world, his olam haba, in one moment. A person can do something so outstanding, so incredible, that he's guaranteed olam haba. For example, you have a baby that's choking on something, and the mother is frantic. She can't get it dislodged. And she calls Hatzalah, and the Hatzalah member comes, and within 30 seconds, he knows exactly what to do, how to get this thing out. He saves the baby's life. This little boy gets older, becomes a bar mitzvah boy, a father, a grandfather, a great-grandfather. He has descendants, and it's all because this Hatzalah fellow came, and within a moment, he was able to save this little boy's life. Yesh koine oilomoi b'sho'achas. Sometimes a person wants to go into business, and you know that the person that he wants to go into business with is a crook, a robber, a terrible person. And you don't hold back, you call him up and say, listen, I know you're thinking of that person going into business. He's a terrible person. He will ruin your life. He will ruin your savings. It'll just be awful. And the fellow listens, and he goes into another business, and he flourishes, and he blossoms, and he has a beautiful parnasa. So because you took the time and the effort to give him that very important advice, you are koine your olam haba, yesh koine olamoi b'sho'achas. But you know, Rav Tzadik has a very interesting klal. Rav Tzadik teaches us a rule that there are many words in the Torah that have different meanings. So what's the real meaning of a word? How do you know what the real meaning is? For example, let's say the word shomar. Shomar means to watch, to protect something. If somebody asks you to watch their jewelry or to watch their car or to watch their house, they're going away. You could be a Shem Asocha, Shem Machinam. We know that, of course, the expression Shem Shabbos, somebody who watches and observes Shabbos. But Shomer or Shomar has a totally different meaning as well. And for example, we all know that when Yosef had the dream that all the brothers were going to bow down to him, the Pasuk tells us, Vayikanu by Echov, the brothers were jealous. They were not happy about that dream, that they would all bow down to Yosef. Va'oviv shomar es hadovar. His father, Yaakov Avinu, he couldn't wait for that to happen. Shomar means he was so excited with anticipation. So what's the real meaning of shomar? Does it mean excited with anticipation? Or does it mean to watch and protect something? So Rav Tzadik says, wherever the word appears the first time, that's the real meaning. Now you're going to hear something amazing. I want to ask a question that I don't expect anybody to know unless you're a Balkaira. If a woman knows this answer, I'll give her a free Maggid book, hardcover, because I'm not cheap. But if a man knows it, I'll be amazed unless you're a Balkaira. Where is the first place in the Torah that it says the word Sha'ah? Anybody know? Sha'ah. Who said it?
Stay here 1 minute.
No, sho'achas means 1 minute, but where? I'll give you a hint. It's in Parshas Bereishis, believe it or not.
Cain,
very good, right. By Cain, Hevel and Cain gave gifts to Hashem. And the Pasuk tells us that Vayisha Hashem el Hevel, Hashem turned to Hevel and his gift, Ve'el Cain ve'el minchosoy loy sho'ah. Hashem didn't turn to the gift of Cain. He didn't accept it. If that's the case, oh, now we have a new pshat in the Gemara. Yesh koine oilomai, a person can conquer his world b'sho'achas, with one turn, one redirection, one refocus, one re-channel of what is important in our lives with our priorities, you can conquer the whole world. And that's what we're going to do tonight. Tonight, we are going to re-channel. We're going to make that turn, and we're going to begin to understand what's really important in life and what are the priorities for ourselves, the priorities for our children. Now, there was one person who turned around his life in one moment. And you know who that was? That was Rabbi Akiva. And listen to the Ovis Rav Nosson. Tells us an amazing thing. It says, what was the beginning of Rabbi Akiva? He was walking by a brook and he saw a rock that had a hole in it. Now, how in the world could a rock have a hole in it? We all know the expression, hard as a rock. And he noticed that there was water that was dripping on the rock. Slowly, but surely, relentlessly, steady, nonstop. And then he realized, hey, wait a second. If water that's so soft could pierce a rock that's so hard, then the Torah that's strong could pierce my heart that's very, very soft. And it changed his life. And to me, you know what the genius of the whole idea of Rabbi Akiva was? Let's say he would try to figure out, how many gallons of water did it take to make a hole in that rock? 20,000 gallons of water. What if you would have taken 20,000 gallons at one time and poured it on the rock? Would it make a difference? Nothing at all. It was because he understood change happens slowly, steadily, relentless. You don't stop. And that's how you change. Nobody's going to change tonight in such a way, a big change. But we're going to change tonight slowly, but surely, relentlessly. Now, those of you who have a pencil and paper, take it out and write down this word because you're about to faint when you realize what I'm about to tell you. Write down the word Akiva. Ayin, Kuf, Yud, Beis, Aleph. Akiva. You know what that stands for? Take a look at the letters. Yesh, Koine, Oilomoi, Bisho'achas. Isn't that amazing? Akiva. Amazing. The Oisiyos Akiva, Ayesh, Koine, Oilomoi, Bisho'achas. Akiva, Rabbi Akiva, was able to see something, and he turned his life around, and he refocused, and he became the great person. And that's what we can do tonight. And you know something? We have to tell our children, and we have to tell ourselves that this is the time that we have to change more than ever. This Elul, we have come together at a very, very perilous time in Klal Yisrael. We have gone through the last few months, the loss of Gilad, Ayal, and Naftali, the loss of many, many precious soldiers. We have found out more than ever before, in the last 50 years for sure, the open anti-Semitism of the whole world against us. Who ever heard that in Argentina, or in France, or in Belgium, or in England, you should be afraid to come out of the shul Shabbos unless you have the police there, because otherwise the people are afraid to come out of the shul. Who knows what the goyim will do to them? All this latent anti-Semitism came out. We've gone through terrible, terrible pain and worry and sorrow. And you know what the Rambam says? The Rambam has something frightening that he tells us in Hilchos Tanyos. He says, if a Yid goes through Tsar, you feel a pain for whatever reason, we have to think, why did it happen? And we must change. And he says, if a person goes through a difficulty and doesn't change, that's cruelty. That's achzarias. You know why it's achzarias, he says? Because if you don't change, it's just going to continue. The pain is going to continue. The heartache will continue. And we all felt heartache. We all felt terrible these last few months. And we don't want it to happen again in the next year. And so therefore, every one of us must think, how are we going to get closer to Hashem? How can we make it so that Hashem should feel we are truly His people and He doesn't want to hurt us in any which way? How are we going to do that? And you know what I heard once? Something from the Chidah, which is amazing. We all know that Elul stands for Ani L'Doidi V'Doidi Li, but you know what else it stands for? Echad L'Chatas V'Echad L'Oila. That's what the Chidah says. There are some people that look at the past year and they think, you know, maybe I didn't really daven the way I was supposed to. Maybe I didn't learn the way I was supposed to. Maybe I didn't do Chesed. So last year may have been some Chatas. So I've got to improve. But there's some people who could look at the past year and say, you know, I learn my daf every day. I went to shul every day. I did chesed every day. I did favors to people. I had a year of aliyah, oila. But still, every Elul is a time of change. Whether you are Echad L'Chatos or Echad L'Oila, you have to get higher and higher and higher. And that's what we're going to talk about. How are we going to change? What can we learn from the previous year? Or what can we learn from what's important in life to make a difference? And I want to share something with you. I have a sister in Ashdod. And she told me how many times she had to run with her children and grandchildren to shelters, how frightening it was every single time. Now we know, of course, they had the Kippurat HaBarzel, the Iron Dome, and Baruch Hashem, that was miraculous. And I believe that in 6 months, there will be so many books that will come out with the unbelievable miracles that went on in this Gaza war. When you think about it, logically and statistically, it doesn't make sense. How could it possibly be that thousands and thousands of rockets fell? And not one exploded in a shul, not one exploded in an apartment building, not one killed a whole bus terminal. How could that be? It was only Nisim. It was no question Nisim, but it still was frightening every single time. And my sister told me the most incredible thing. And you will, only a Yiddish mother could say what I'm about to tell you. Listen to this, it's not to be believed. She told me that somebody went to be Menachem Mavel, Mrs. Frankel. Mrs. Frankel is an American woman, a very eloquent woman. All of you, if you can, try tonight before you go to sleep, see her message to all of Klal Yisrael for Rosh Hashanah. It's on age.com. I saw it this morning. I was absolutely incredible. But anyway, they went to her to be Menachem Mavel. And listen to what she said. She said that at the end, when she found out what happened with her son, she said, for 18 days I cried. 18 days I cried, I didn't know if my son was alive. And finally, at the end, when I found out that he was killed the first day, I had a partial nechama. I had a partial consolation. And people said to her, what do you mean? How did you, what kind of consolation? She said, I knew my Naftali, he loved doing mitzvahs. And the mitzvah that he loved more than anything else was his tefillin. And I knew that there's no way that they are going to let him wear tefillin. Those Arabs would not let him wear tefillin. And when I found out that he was killed the first day, I said, Hashem, at least my son, he didn't go one day without wearing his tefillin. Could you imagine that a Yiddish mother should say something like that? She just lost her precious child, and that's how she has a partial nechama, that her son didn't go one day without tefillin. And I think when we hear this in Elul, every single one of us must make a commitment, especially the men. I'm going to tell something now to the men. The women will not believe what I'm saying, but the women will be able to learn from this as well. Do you know that there are men in shul, while they're wearing tefillin, they're doing texting and emails? It's a disgrace. None of the women can believe that. But all of us in shul know that as soon as a guy finishes Shemoneh Esrei, he's waiting until Chazaras HaShatz, maybe he's going to get something from Staples. Right? Or maybe he'll get something from the NFL, you know, to buy a giant jersey. It has become insane. We've lost ourselves when it comes to texting and emails. So I had a sticker made up, and this is for men and women. Every one of you tonight will be able to go home with this. Put it in your sitter. Put it on your stender. Put it on your refrigerator. It's a little label sticking out. It says, disconnect to reconnect. Here, get a close picture of it. Disconnect to reconnect. Every one of you will get it. From now on, when you walk into shul, unless you're a doctor, unless you're an atzalah, or your wife's expecting any minute, you have no reason to have that cell phone on. And women as well. We have to disconnect to reconnect. We have to disconnect from the technology. And listen, I hope you don't mind. It's a Nusach Sfarad Siddur, but I guarantee you it works for Ashkenaz as well. You know, don't worry about it. And that's the least that we can do for Naftali. Lazecha Nishmosai. Now, I'm going to tell you again another thing. I didn't think of this. I don't want to take credit for it. There's a wonderful young Rebbe in Far Rockaway in Darkei Torah. His name is Rabbi Yaron Halbertal. And the fire of Torah burns in him. When I told him this thing, he said, Rabbi Krohn, write down the word Naftali. Write it down. You won't believe. Naftali is the Oisei's tefillin. Could you believe that? Could you believe that? Naftali is the Oisei's tefillin. You know what that means? That means that which the Gemara tells us, Shema Gorim, when you are given a name, your name defines your life. It influences your life. That's why we don't have anybody named Gairach, and we don't have anybody named Esav. Even Yishmael, Chazal asked, how could you have somebody named Rabbi Yishmael? So they say because he did tshuva. But your name defines you. You think the Frankels, when they named him Naftali, they realized that the tefillin would be his main mitzvah? So I want to tell you something just a little bit light. Most of you maybe don't know, but my middle name is Yosef. My full name is Pesach Yosef. I was named after my mother's father, my grandfather. But you know what Chazal say, if you learn it in the Haggadah and everything, that Pesach is really a combination of two words. Pesach, a mouth that speaks. Yosef, a lot. That's why I don't stop. Now, I guarantee you that when my mother named me, she was not thinking I was going to be a speaker, right? She thought she's naming me after her father, right? Pesach Yosef. But your name defines you. And I think that tonight, one of the commitments we must make and tell our children as well, when you are davening, when you make a connection to Hashem, it's got to be directly to Hashem. Now I want all of you to buy yourselves a present for Yontif. Some of you can buy clothes, you can buy jewelry, buy whatever you want. But before you give out your last pennies before Yontif, I want to give you an idea that's something that has helped me so much in the last few weeks. Except for the Maggid books, which I think are one of the best books that Artscroll ever put out. A book came out 2 or 3 weeks ago, maybe it's a month already, that is so phenomenal that will give each and every one of us tremendous chizuk. It's called Living Emuna. It's written by a young Sephardic fellow. His name is Rabbi David Asher. I didn't know who he was. I called him just to thank him. Now, there are in the book probably over 100 different entries. He's got about 132, 135 entries. I don't read the book straight. Every day I pick up 2 or 3 different entries, and it's fabulous. And every single one of you is going through such trauma, has gone through such difficulties. And everybody in Klal Yisrael goes through difficulties. Sometimes you walk around, you see somebody, you think, ah, they have everything. Nobody has everything. That's what Golos is. You think they have because you don't know what's going on in their lives. I'm telling you, pick up this book. Don't read it all in one shot. It's not good. It's like too much medicine at one time. Take 2 or 3 chapters, 2 or 3 entries every night. I'm telling you, it'll change you. It'll give you chizuk. And you know something? I know there are many nisyonos that divorced men and divorced women go through. And sometimes, in their exasperation, certain people will do things on Shabbos, which I don't even want to say in my mouth what they will do, because they're so lonely. Because I don't want to give anybody any ideas, but any of you will know what I'm talking about. Don't do it. Don't do it. I've heard of certain people, men, who text on Shabbos, Rachmana Litzlan, because they're so addicted to the texting. Do you know what the worst thing about texting on Shabbos is? Of course that it's awesome, and that's not even the question. But your children, they know. And when you break down the barriers of connecting to Hashem on the holiest day of the week, those kids, they're gonna break these barriers later. And there's nothing worse than having a kid at risk. This past Sunday night, I spoke for MASK. MASK is a wonderful organization that gives support to parents that have had kids at risk. I'm telling you, Benny knows that any time that I speak for an organization, I try to do a great deal of research about the organization. I spoke to many parents who were helped by MASK. You cannot believe, you should never know the pain of what it means that these parents have kids that are in rehab places in Arizona and California and South Carolina, working in malls with Israelis in South Carolina, away from the Hamish houses that they all grew up in. There's nothing worse. And many times, not all the time, but many times, when parents will take certain liberties, the children know, you can't fool them. And the children take these liberties. There's a lady who I know, a Chassidish family, you would never ever believe it. And she told me she has questions in Amunah. She doesn't do mitzvahs when nobody's looking. When the kids don't see, she doesn't make brachas. And now she writes me an email. Her kid is at risk. Of course her kid is at risk. You think the kids don't know what the parents do? Disconnect to reconnect. Technology is not the answer. Watching the internet to 1 o'clock in the morning is not gonna make you a happy person. You know what's gonna make you a happy person? This book, Living Emunah. That's the gift you should buy yourselves before Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. Take it to shul. It's a Sefer Kodesh Admiyoid. Not only that, when I spoke to him, I didn't realize that you can get a daily email of Emunah, daily Emunah. And that's where this book is taken from his daily emails or the speeches that he gives. And it's wonderful, and it'll give us chizuk. So let's remember tonight, we have to make a commitment in the memory of Naftali Frankel, how he loved the mitzvah of tefillin. Let us expand it to the mitzvah of davening, to disconnect, to reconnect. I want to share with you a story, an amazing story. I believe you know the Rebbetzin Kanievsky, right? Of course. Listen to this story that Batsheva Kanievsky wrote. An amazing story. And tonight, once again, we're going to become so elevated when we hear this story and what we can learn from it. We're going to change. And we're going to change to the better. We're going to change our kids. Listen to this. She writes a story that when she was a little girl, maybe 11 or 12 years old, it was 1948. And there was another war that was going on. Milchemet HaShichrur, the War of Independence. And she was the daughter of Rabbi Yashiv, and they lived in Meir She'orim. And bombs were flying from the Jordan side into Yerushalayim. And Rachmana Litzlan, I'm telling you, I had no idea that she had a younger sister. And she writes that one afternoon, a bomb fell onto the house of Rabbi Yashiv. It pierced the ceiling, fell into the bed of her younger sister, Rivka, 4 years old, and killed her. And Rabbi Yashiv said, we're not living anymore here in Meir She'orim. We got to move to a different part of Yerushalayim. And they moved to a place called Mishkanos. Now, the only problem was that bread was rationed in those days in Israel. And you could only buy bread at a grocer where you were registered as a local resident. So now that Rabbi Yashiv moved to Mishkanos, he couldn't get bread in the grocery in Mishkanos because he wasn't a resident there. So somebody had to go back to Meir She'orim to get the bread because that's where they were registered as residents. So Batsheva said, I'll go. So she had a great Zaidi. Does anybody know who her Zaidi was? Rabbi Arya Levine. As soon as I talk about a tzaddik, Ronnie Aboff walks in. How you doing, Ronnie? Okay. He doesn't look like a tzaddik, but he really is. I know him. Okay. Anyway, listen to this. So Rabbi Arya Levine says to his daughter Batsheva, I'm going with you. You're not going alone. And she writes that the whole time that they were walking in the streets, he kept on saying, this kapitel tilim yeshev v'seiser. We all say it at night before we go to sleep. Yeshev v'seiser, it says in the Gemara in Shavuos Tezvah Amud Beis, is called Shir Shel Pegoim. That's the song. If somebody doesn't want catastrophe to happen to them, you say Yeshev v'seiser. I say it now every single day besides saying it at night. Yeshev v'seiser. And she writes that they were going. They passed the hospital, and Rabbi Arya Levine said, Batsheva, now you're going to have to go alone. She said, Zaidi, what do you mean I'm going alone? How could I go alone? He said, say Yeshev v'seiser. And he had to go into the hospital. Why? Because there were so many men that had been killed, and they were going to make a mass burial that afternoon, and all these women would be agunas, because nobody knew who they were. They just picked them off the streets and put them in the hospital, and they were going to bury them. He said, I can't allow that they should be agunas. I have to go in there and try to identify as many as possible. And so therefore he went inside, and she writes that her father, who was the big masmid, Rabbi Yashiv, every 10 minutes he stopped, he wanted to know, did Sheva come back yet? Did Sheva come back? And she came back safely. And when I read this story, I was trying to think, what is so special about Yeshiva Seser? And I took out the Kapitel and Tillim and I started learning it, and then I realized, I believe I know the answer. You know what the answer is? There's a pasuk in there that says, Ki malachov yitzav aloch lishmorcha b'chol derechecha. Hashem is going to command his malachim to protect you. And then when I saw that pasuk, I thought, oh, you're born in the Alma. I remember an unbelievable story about the word malach. Do you know that many years ago, there was a young woman in her early 40s. She was married, she had a few children, and her husband was very sick. And the doctor said, your husband is so sick, I can't take a chance doing the operation. I need a higher authority to tell me that I can do it, because I'm afraid he'll die on the table. He's so weak. So you get a higher authority that'll tell me that I can do it, I'll do it. He meant she should go to a university hospital, a big hospital, find a doctor, and the doctor will tell him that he can do the operation. She's thinking, higher authority? Who's the highest authority that I know? She says, oh my husband, 20 years ago, he learned in Teres Yerushalayim by Rav Moshe Feinstein. That's the highest authority. I'm going to go ask Rav Moshe. Now, her husband hadn't kept up with Rav Moshe, but still, he learned it, so she's going to go. So the doctor happens to call her. He says, did you find a higher authority? She says, I'm going to him tomorrow. Oh, which doctor are you going? What university are you going to? She says, well, it's not exactly a doctor, it's a rabbi. He says, I don't believe it. What do you mean, you're going to a rabbi? Whether I should make an operation? This guy doesn't even have a medical background, and he's going to rule that I should make, or I should not make the operation? She says, yeah, I trust him. He says, I don't believe this. Do you mind if I come with you? I have to see this myself. I cannot believe that a rabbi is going to make such a decision. She says, come. So the next day, she goes with the doctor and her father. They go to FDR Drive. They come to Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe sees the doctor. He gives him tremendous derech eretz. He asks him all the questions, what about the nature of the operation and the seriousness of the illness and all. And then he turns, Rav Moshe turns to the lady and says, you know, you told me that your husband learned it 20 years ago. I don't remember. Tell me something about him. She says, Rosh Hashiva, I have a picture of him, of what he looked like 20 years ago. Oh, he says, very good. Let me see the picture. Rav Moshe takes a look at the picture, and suddenly he recognizes this boy, this young man, and he starts crying. And when he started crying, the doctor turns to the wife and says, now I understand why he can make such a decision. A person with such compassion, a person who could feel pain for another person that he's going to cry, for a person that he didn't remember till now, such a person can make the operation. And listen to what Rav Moshe said. You won't believe it. You'll think a Hasidic Rebbe is talking. Rav Moshe said they should have the operation, but he should make a Kabbalah. He should be makabal that from now on, every bracha that he says out loud, he's going to say it so that somebody should answer Amen. Write it down. Amen. Aleph Mem Nun is equal. How much? Who can figure it out? 91. The word Malach. Mem Lamed Aleph Chof equals how much? 91. He says every time he says a bracha and somebody says Amen, a Malach will be created and that will protect him. And he had the operation and he lived another 6 years. And he said, Rav Moshe said also he should get other people to say brachas out loud so he'll be able to say Amen. And when I started telling this story, somebody said to me, do you know how old Rav Moshe was when he died? I said, I don't know, he was in his 90s, right? He says, go look up in the biography. You know how old he was? 91. Now you want to hear something amazing? What Perik is Yeshiv Seser and Tillim? 91, how do you know that? Tzadik Aleph, isn't that incredible? So I think tonight, if we want to make a connection to Hashem, we want to be protected in the new year, we have to go home and tell our kids, from now on we say brachas out loud. So that we say Amen and Malachim will be created. And I want to tell you, every single time I speak, I'm always drinking water. And I've been chalashing to drink. But I'm waiting for this moment. So I'm going to make a bracha. And we're going to say Amen together. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Shehakol Nehi B'dvaro.
Amen.
All the Malachim should protect. Now I want to tell you how I once got in trouble with this. The first time I filmed the Tisha B'Av video for Michael Rothschild and the Chafetz Chaim Heritage Foundation, we filmed it 2 weeks, 2 months in advance. You know, I'm sitting there drinking, you know, in the middle of the speech, and then he watches it and he says, what is going on here? 60,000 people are going to see you drinking on Tisha B'Av. You got to film it over. So anybody who's watching this film, it's not Shiva Asim Thomas, and it's not Aser Simei, I mean, it's not Tzav Gedalia, so, you know, here's to all of you. Here's one more thing that we can do, which I think is so important. A change, an elevation. You know, we spend so much time davening, and we often wonder why the tefillahs seem not to be answered. And especially there's so many heiliger women that say tilim. And we have tilim groups and amen groups. So Rabbeinu B'chaya tells us something that's absolutely amazing. Rabbeinu B'chaya says, a pshat in a pasuk that we have said 5,000 times in our lives for sure. But listen how he understands it. Of course, there's a simple meaning in the pasuk. Koroi v'ashem l'chol koirov. L'chol asher yikra'uhu be'emes. Hashem is close to all who call him with sincerity. But Rabbeinu B'chaya says, kol hamachzik b'midas ha'emes. Anybody who undertakes the midah of honesty, he doesn't cheat, she doesn't lie, she doesn't over-exaggerate, tfilosai nishmoes. The tefillah will be listened to. Why? Because that's what David HaMelech says. Korav Hashem l'chol korav. Hashem is close to all who call him, l'chol asher yikra'u be'emes, to all who can say, I am a person of honesty. And that's what we have to tell our children tonight and tomorrow until Rosh Hashanah. We're going to daven. We have so much to daven for peace, for health, for finances, for wisdom, for Yir Shamayim, for Avos Yisrael. We want Hashem to listen. Tonight, let's make up. We're not going to lie anymore in this house. We're not going to over-exaggerate. No teacher's going to tell their student they're giving back the test on Monday when you know very well you're not going to look at it till Thursday. Nobody's going to say, I'm going to deliver the part. Or I'll be at your house for the meeting and you know very well you're not going to be there on time. You want to hear what Emes is all about? Listen to this. You won't believe this. Let's see if anybody can figure this out. Rabbeinu B'chaya says in the first pasuk in the Chumash, every single nekuda is there except one. Ah is there, O is there, Segel, Kometz. There's one in Bereishis, Bara, Elikim, Esa, Shemayim, Esa, Aretz. Which nekuda is missing? Who can figure it out? Who said? What'd you say? The U is missing. You know why? How do you say U in Hebrew? What is that it's called? Shuruk. Shuruk, Shin, Reish, Kuf, is Oisye, is Sheker, Shin, Kuf, Reish, Zok, the Helig, Rabbeinu B'chaya, Sheker cannot be at all in the first Pasuk in Chumash, because that's the foundation for Kol HaTorah Kula. That's what we got to tell our kids. From now on, we're going to shut our cell phones before we start davening. From now on, we're going to say brachas out loud, Amen, Malach. And from now on, we're going to start saying the truth and not lie and not exaggerate. You're not allowed to lie to your kids. You know, there's a woman, I don't know if I should say her name, Mayor Wickler's wife. You know, she's a wonderful lady. She once told me something amazing. She said that when she was in high school, she was learning Parshas Hazino. She was learning Parshas Hazino, and Hazino is not an easy Parsha. And the teacher told them, anybody who knows Hazino by heart with the Taich will get a prize. It was in June, I guess finals came up, report cards, vacation. She knew it, and she never got the prize. She tells me every single year, Parshas Hazino, she still thinks, that teacher, it's 40 years ago, she still owes me the prize. So recently she told me she met a friend of hers who graduated together with her, and they're talking about that teacher, and Mrs. Malka Wickler says, remember what she said about Hazino? And the other girl says, don't tell me you're thinking the same thing. She says, she promised you the prize, right? She says, yeah, every year, Parshas Hazino, I'm still thinking. Both of these women, Nebuch, they're still thinking about the prize they were supposed to get 40 years ago. Because the teacher made a promise. Don't promise your kids something if it's not going to happen. You want to hear what's El Chait? Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky had, his wife was very sick and she needed an operation. He wanted to get a bracha for Rabbi Moshe. So he had Rabbi Moshe's unlisted number. So one of the sons told me, they said to the father, Rabbi Yaakov, why didn't you call Rabbi Moshe on his unlisted number? You have that number, nobody else has it. Everybody's calling him for Shilas, but that number's available. Listen to what he said. He said, that number was given to me in case there's an emergency in Klal Yisrael, so I should be able to get to him right away. There's no emergency in Klal Yisrael, it's my personal emergency. I have no right to use that number. Isn't that amazing? I'll tell you an amazing thing. Rav Segal was once on a trip, on a train from Manchester to London. So he bought an economy class ticket. But in the economy train, they were in the cabin, there were a lot of hoodlums there. So he decided he's gonna go to the first class cabin. And you know how it works in London, the conductor comes through and he was gonna pay the difference. But what happened is when he went in with his Talmud, by that time the conductor had already gone through. So when he came to the train station in London, he went to the clerk and said, you know, I switched in the middle, I'd like to pay the difference. So the clerk said, don't worry, it's okay, you're here already, it's fine. So Rav Segal says to his Talmud in Yiddish, "Es nit de bala bos?" You know, he doesn't own the train station. We owe the money. So he went to the manager of the station and he paid the difference. And then the manager turns to the Talmud and says, your rabbi is one in a million. That's honesty. So I'll tell you what happened with me. The first time I went to Belgium on Sabina Airlines, Oliver Sholem, there's no more Sabina Airlines. So it was a long line. I had economy ticket and there's nobody checking in first class. So the guy behind the counter says, anybody here first class? I raise my hand. He says, you got a first class ticket? I said, no, you want to know if anybody here is first class? I'm a first class guy. He said, check in first class. Well, he didn't let me sit first class, but he let me check in. Because I am a first class guy. That's what he wanted to know. So, thank you. So, we have to change. We have to change. It's Elul. Echad l'chatas v'echad l'olah. We have to go home and tell our kids tonight. We're going to disconnect to reconnect. Let's make sure Shabbos is Shabbos. Mitzvahs on mitzvahs. Let's learn. I'm telling you, I know that you're going through such trauma. So many of you. So much pain on this side, on that side. And it's lonely. And so many divorced people tell me it's 10 times worse to be divorced than to be an almana. Please be Michael me. And the reason is because everybody blames them. They always feel they're getting blamed. Nobody blames an almana unless she shot her husband. Right? But somehow, the divorced people, they're always getting blamed, right? So, you have to go through, you have to make a connection to Hashem. Get this book, I'm telling you. You'll feel good about yourself, you'll feel good about Hashem, and you'll never, ever, ever give up. And that's what this book is all about. Not giving up, going through the tough times, but look at this. People in previous generations, they didn't have a support group like from divorce. We owe Benny a tremendous Yashar Koyach. Benny, wherever you are. There he is. The hero of the night. So let me just end with this great story. Many of you heard of the name Rav Mechol Ber Weissmandel, who was a great, great tzaddik who lived in Europe, and Nebuch lost a wife and five children. He came to America after the war. He remarried. Mr. Shem, all of you should be able to remarry. And he had five children. His fifth child was a boy. And at the bris, he said this remarkable thing. Remember this forever. When the Satmar Rebbe heard the punchline of this story, he broke down and he cried. Rav Mechol Ber Weissmandel said, I had five children on the other side, and they died, Al Kiddush Hashem. Now that I have five children here in America, I hope that they will live, Al Kiddush Hashem. He said, five children are in Shemayim. He said, now I have a new pshat in Kedusha. Nikadesh eshimcho ba'olam. Let us sanctify your name in this world. Kishem shemagdishim oisoy b'shmei marayim. Just like those who died al Kiddush Hashem. They sanctified Hashem. Naphtali, Ayal, Gilad, the soldiers, all the martyrs, all the Yidden over the years who died al Kiddush Hashem. They died al Kiddush Hashem. Let us live Al Kiddush Hashem. We live in a great country. We live in a place where we can have a kinnus like this, where we can have 100,000 at MetLife Stadium for a Siyum HaShas. V'koroh ze el ze v'yomar. Those that are in Shemayim will be able to look at us and say, we live lives of Kiddush Shem Shemayim. We look at them and say, they lived lives of Kiddush Shem Shemayim. V'koroh ze el ze v'yomar. Kadosh, kadosh, kadosh. Both those of us in this world will be able to look at those in the other world and say, they died Al Kiddush Hashem. Let them look at us and say, we live Al Kiddush Hashem. I couldn't help but think the morning after, we found out what happened with those three boys. Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. That's the least we owe them. They gave up their lives unwillingly, but they gave up their lives Al Kiddush Shem Shemayim. In Elul, we have to make a commitment that no matter what, no matter what we go through, we will try to be those exemplary Yidden that will live lives of Kiddush Hashem, that our children will live lives of Kiddush Hashem. So Shetakabiva Koroz El Zevi Amar Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. And now I want to end with one thing which I heard this afternoon from a Rav, Rav Shalom Axelrod. I told him I was going to say this thing about Yesh Koina Oilamai B'sho Achas in one turn. And you know what he says to me? Rabbi Krohn, this is the year to say it. I said, what do you mean? He said, next year is Tov Shin Ayin Hey Sho'ah. Tov Shin Ayin Hey Sho'ah. That's the year. Well, we're going to make that turn. And we're going to live lives of Kedusha. Maybe she should help, that we should make the turn. Understand the priorities. Make sure we say brachas out loud. We daven with connection to Hashem. We become people of emes. We live lives of Kiddush Hashem. We should be zeicha to a year of Yeshuais, Nechamais, Refuais, Mizeicha Resi Mashiach, and Tchias Amezim. Thank you for inviting me, and thank you for listening.
TorahAnytime.com sends cameras out day and night to video and audio record the best Torah classes around. We then make them available to you for free. So what are you waiting for? Watch, listen to, and download lectures on TorahAnytime.com today.